Blog Talk Radio.
Hold it now.
Productions, a Black-owned radio network that addresses issues and solutions to the Black community, presents Black Urban America. Everybody that listens by laptops and computers, if you have a question or comment, you can dial 516-531-9540. That's 561-531-9540 and press 1. And if you have a comment or a question, the lineup, as usual, today we start with me, Black Urban America, and my name is Kenny Jones. My co-host is Michonne Williams. On Wednesday, Michonne Williams has her own show called The Cutting Edge. On Thursday, we have Port of Harlem by Wayne A. Young. And finish up the week, we have on Saturdays, Call to Steve with Provocative Thought. Now listen, what do you think about the art industry? Do you think the art industry is representing Black people well? Well, tonight, we have someone from the art industry. She's president at, I hope I said it right, Godly Entertainment. She works with plays. She worked with the public school. She's an actress. She's a director. And also, she is a producing director. And also, she's a singer, too. She sings. And with us tonight, we have Miss Lenny Godfrey. Welcome to Black Urban America, Miss Godfrey.
Well, thank you so much, Mr.
Good.
Jones. Thank you so much. It's so wonderful to be here.
You're welcome. Now, is art a reflection of the culture?
Art is not a reflection. It should be a leadership of the culture. If you think about the way that we purchase our things, art gives us the incentive to do our clothes, hair, makeup. So I believe, and these statements that I will say in the next hour, if they are my belief, in my opinion, is that art should be in the leadership. And when it isn't, it is because we as an audience need to participate more and to make sure that the people who make those decisions in our industry know what we want to see. So,
okay.
Hopefully, I've answered that question for you.
well, we go. There's a couple of things that you have stated. We're going to address later on the show, especially about leadership and how we want to be represented. How does or will art address race relations?
I think it can address race relations in a lot of different ways. It can in the storyline, because when we create the fantasy of art, and it is a fantasy, when we create those things and we come close to reality, we can use art as a teacher. And scenarios that apply to what our everyday life is about. We've got films in our history that reflect that, like Raisin in the Sun, Sounder. Those things tell of our racial environment, of our everyday culture, of our challenges. So I do think that art can tell the story of who we are.
Hey, but I'm gonna ask you a part two of that question later on the show as we really get the audience to know like where we're going with this. Well, our show society have to appreciate blacks and how?
Say that one more time for me.
Will art show society, the larger society, how to appreciate blacks, because black folks in America have offered, you know, did a lot historically for this country, and historically we've been unappreciated, you know, with injustice, with racism, discrimination. So how can art show society how to appreciate blacks?
Okay. How can art aid in that? Well, that is creation of a lot of television shows, a lot of movies, plays, sound bites, CDs, recordings that reflect our history. I think that what we have to do as a people and as a society is to recognize that most of our history has been omitted or whitewashed. So,
I agree 1,000%.
Yes, in order to correct that.
Especially whitewash.
Yes, in order to correct that, what we do when we start creating things is represent ourselves completely and accurately. So therefore, when you do that, there's no other choice but then to have people respect who we are. So right now, the position that we are in is that we are functioning about at 1/8 of where we are, I believe, in history. I think that in many circumstances, we in this country celebrate month by month different diverse groups, the gay group, the woman's group, the black group, and every month devotes to that. If you look in there, you will find that there's so much information squashed into one month. But if you take that information and infuse it into the American history books, then you don't need to have months to identify different diverse groups. We will be inclusive. So to take that information and make it inclusive in American history and inclusive in the process of when we are creating pieces. So that's one of the responsibilities that we should take on as creators of work, as writers, as directors, as producers. One of the things that the group that I am artistic director of, Essence of Act, is one of the things that we do is consult with playwrights on their work when they are people who are maybe not of color, who have decided to write a story about us. We take the story, read the story, and feedback to them.
Why is that? Why are other cultures so in a hurry to tell our story and get it wrong? For example, color purple.
Hold your thoughts, because you're going to give me three questions in one time. First of all, our story is such a fascinating, our history is so fascinating that they want to tell it, but in the past, especially in my opinion, in order to keep us in a certain position, they want to be first to tell our story so that we are only the facts that they want to be told are being told in the story. However, now, especially since the movement of George Floyd and diversity and all of these things, it is a requirement, and we have made the bar higher so that when you come to us with a story that you want to tell us about us, as we would if we were to tell a story about another ethnic group, whether it be Latino, Jewish, all of that, you have to respect the fact that we know more about ourselves than you think we know. And
that's
we
true.
Require you to do justice to our imagery.
And which we're going to get into that later on, too.
Okay.
I'm going to turn the questioning over to Michonne. Go ahead, Michonne.
Hello, Michonne. How are you?
I am great. Why is representation important in art?
What kind of representation are you talking about? There are a lot of different representations. What kind of reputation do you mean?
Okay. Far as African-American representation.
You mean why is it important that we have a place in art as black people? Is that the question that you're asking me? That we're
yes.
represented well? Okay. It's important because we have a legacy. Everything about us in 15, 20 years, those of us who are older will not be here. It's a legacy that we are now trying to create, and that legacy has to be accurate. So it is very important that we are represented in history and we're represented accurately within history.
Okay, and is it necessary to construct new ways of seeing reality, you know, as people only know reality through representation?
Well, you know, there's a thing in art called license. And sometimes people take a little license with a story. Sometimes they'll start a story. And in order to capture our imagination, in order to capture our attention, they enhance it a bit. For example, the movie. The wonderful movie, Lady Sings the Blues. That is the story that they tell us of Billie Holiday. However, really look at the story of Billie Holiday. Her story is based on a lot of different things that could not be conveyed in that story because of even what Billie Holiday looked like and what she did when she put on gloves and stockings that covered her legs so that she, at one point in time, when she was with the band, could pass for a white singer. So that's the license that was taken in that film that could not show that because Diane is a bit darker than that is a little bit of a different interpretation. So there's license taken, but that doesn't mean it's not entertaining. But what we need to know is the basic and real story, and then we can appreciate the variation on what has happened.
The Harlem Renaissance play in the Black Arts Movement.
Say it again.
What role, if any, did the Harlem Renaissance play
mm-hmm.
in the Black Arts Movement?
When are you talking about? What role? It's always played a role in the Harlem Renaissance when it was created, affected in the time that it was created decades ago, affected a resurgence of people appreciating who we were with artists. Like Langston Hughes and Zora and all of those people getting recognition. But for us now, it's had a resurgence twice. It had one in the 60s, and it's had one now where we then dig up these beautiful pieces of work that they have and reflect it, and it shows our history. It shows the path that we have come. We Wear the Mask, so brilliant, talks about how it was to function in a society with two faces, one that allowed people to have their lives, to live every single day, and the other face that was a face where people had their own reality and they knew how they wanted to be treated but could not do it because there were not laws that supported them. So the Harlem Renaissance in music, in the written word, whether it be stories, novels, poetry, all of that has had an effect on us. And I believe the actor of today of color and not of color should be acquainted with all of that work because it's inclusive not only for the Harlem Renaissance, but American history.
Yeah. The Harlem Renaissance was very important in like
absolutely.
You said, in American history.
It's precious.
That Langston Hughes, man, very powerful man. Yes. Why does it matter if arts and culture become involved? How do they integrate with each other, arts, culture, and race?
I think they feed one another. You know, the culture happens. It's an everyday function. What we do, how we function, how we go through our day every day. Art takes that, sometimes imitates it a bit, and feeds it back in a storyline. Then culture looks at that, reflects on it, and says, oh, I like that enhancement better than what I'm doing, and then imitates the art. So they intertwine. Like branches
which come
in the tree,
first,
they
like the chicken and
one
egg.
Another.
Which come first, the art or the culture? Which one comes first?
Oh, gosh, that's like, you know, what comes first?
The chicken or the egg.
It is one of those things where I don't have the definitive answer for that. I think they interchange. I think sometimes culture feeds the art, and I think sometimes art feeds the culture.
Okay, now we're going to get ready to get into some more different issues. When there's so much lack of resources and racism towards the black community, how can art address this?
I think it's important that art recognizes that there are a lack of resources in our communities, that there are children that we need to educate better, that we need to make sure that Wi-Fi is given to them. We need to make sure that they have access to the educational tools that are given to children in neighborhoods that are far more fortunate financially. And art can emphasize that. We need to make sure and make the public aware of it. We need to touch those areas of our society that has wealth and to make sure that those people are aware of the situation that we have that determines our children's future. Our children, the most important thing that I, and you've been on my website, so you've seen that my concern is for the children because they don't have a great voice, and sometimes the voice that they do have is not the most accurate voice that could happen for them, that parents who have children in our community are really preoccupied with trying to put food in their mouth and clothes on their backs. The emphasis on education isn't as great as I'd like to see it, and so we need to be able to help them with that. And so art intercedes in that is that we need to create programs that go into the community and that we help the parents with the children and anchor that toward education. Because education, no matter what you want to be, whether it's a doctor, an astronaut, a professor, education is the key for our children to have the leadership that we want them to have. We don't want them to be in the back the seat, and we want them to be leaders. We don't want them to be followers. Somebody's got to follow, but our children need to lead.
Our children do have to lead. Oh, before I go on, if you have a question or comment, just press 1, and we'll chime you in. You could ask or have a comment with Ms. Godfrey at any time. Yeah, our children have to be future leaders. However, there are barriers. Teen pregnancy.
Are there, Mr. Jones? Let me just.
Drug abuse, drug dealing, gangs. That's like the end. That's like up close police brutality.
Yes.
Prison.
You know, let me let me stop you right there, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead. Stop me. Go ahead.
All right. Let me just give the background to your audience. I am born and raised in New York City. I was born in Harlem. I'm very proud of the fact that I lived, and I'm going to give this address, and whoever lives there now, please don't bother these people in this apartment, but I lived at 270 West 153rd Street in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. That's 8th and McCoon's Place, the building now that still exists. And there was a time when I was playing the street, and no one would bother you. We had PAL, which is the Police Athletic League. They'd come paint the streets. We did hopscotch, did everything else. Then drugs was introduced into our community, and it was introduced into our community, and it got out of hand. And it got out of hand, and to the point where when I would go to school, I would step over people in my hallway because they were nodding out. So I became I was very aware of what all of that was very early on. But there's a choice that you have also in our community. And we have to take that responsibility as far as the choice. And I lived right with it. And I made a choice right then and there that whatever was presented to me, that was not going to be an answer that I had. And so I don't perceive it as a barrier at all. I don't perceive all of those things that are attempted to us, that we have to understand that people want to intercede into our culture and break down our culture, and we have to resist those things as far as I'm concerned.
But how can a 12-year-old or 13-year-old
I did it. You're asking me how I did? You make a choice.
Choice. I'm talking about a 12 or 13-year-old today in 2021, how can they resist the gang culture when the art industry glorifies gang culture?
Well, Ben, and that is a point. And you know who needs to attend to that point? Those of us who are the audience. Those of us who are the audience who go to those films and pay that money to see those films need to say to those people, this is not what we want our children to see. You see, because this is the process that I want to talk about. And the process is, if you don't see what you want, then you need to tell people what you want to see. It is called, you teach people how to treat you. So you cannot complain about an industry that finds that people are going to pay for those movies, and I don't approve of them, no. But people do. If you do not approve of them, then you need to write down, and you know how to write the studios. You need to let those studios know, because one letter is worth 1,000 people, okay? So we need to be able to let people understand what we want our children to see, whether it's on television, whether it's in the movies. You let them know, because it's bottom line is money for everyone. And if you say, I am not interested in this because I will not attend this, then that stops their money line, that stops their producing line, and that's the bottom line, and they will change. A lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people will change and listen to what you want if their sponsors don't get the support from the audience. So you have the power. The audience has the power, and recognizing that is a very important thing. And a lot of people don't want to talk about that, but the audience has it. When I was on television, it was the audience who determined in our show who was the leading character and who was more popular. The audiences that do that. So we need to take that power in hand. Now, I understand that your question says, you know, when we see all these movies, well, let us not see them then. Let us tell people that that's not what we want to see.
Now, how can the arts enable critical conversation about solution for black folks?
Say that again from the very beginning. I missed the very top of it.
How can the arts industry enable critical conversation about solutions for black people?
Oh, I think that that can go in their programming. I think that some network televisions are trying to do that. I think, again, that we have to be supportive of our organizations, our social organizations, our political organizations. When I say that, though, those like the NAACP and all those people, and go to them and make sure that they have a voice that goes to the networks and says that we want programs that are going to affect our community, that are going to give us conversations that we want to see about. You have enough programs that focus that are not on us, so we can demand more time. We can demand more time. You know, we can do that. It has to be organized. There's a way to do that. And when they find out that you can do that, then they will listen to you.
Right. I just want to tell the listeners, press one if you have a comment or a question. Go ahead, Michonne. Back to you.
Okay. Do white people want diversity in the arts as much as black people?
Well, I love
I do not. I am not going to count. That was my question.
I think that a lot of them do. I think that they sincerely and genuinely do. I think, though, that it is, you have to realize what the white culture has been taught and given all their lives. It is a life lesson of superiority that they have always been taught. And unlearning that is very difficult, and giving it up is very difficult. So some people genuinely do. Let me give you the example. I was in a board meeting, and it was a little bit after George Floyd had that horrible experience happen to him. And the meeting was going on, and I'm the only person of color in this meeting. And at the end of the meeting, was about to end, and everybody's being done. I'm still a little sullen, and so I'm waiting for someone to say something, because this is a meeting of the arts, and the arts should, you know, we are in the world. We are in the world. But no one said anything, and I was about to say something when my friend Robin Staff, who was not black, said, "Wait a minute, are we not going to talk about George Floyd here?" Before I could even get it out of my mouth. So that there are some people where that affected them very greatly, because they had never ever really said that. That was never a reality for them. Never getting a cab in New York City is never a reality for some people. They don't even understand what we're talking about. So some people are very genuine about wanting to make this change because they see the inequity, and some people are very comfortable with the inequity, and they're the ones that we have to move. I'm not concerned about the people who want to be moved. We'll move with us. The concern is the people who don't want to be moved, the resistance of that. So I hope I've answered your question. Yes, there are some people who do. You can't clump all people together because everybody's different. We are very different. No one's monolithic. So
I thought that maybe they would want black people in it because they seem to like to put black people in roles as thugs, criminals, janitors, maids,
Lawyers. Very hard. It's very, very difficult. They film green-lighted where you have the leads that have executive positions that a love story. Usually it's a sex story, but it's not a love story. Those things are very difficult for a production company to get done. And it's what I think the misinterpretation is that you think that that power lies into the actor. The actor, talent, as they're called, as we are called in this business, we're the last ones hired. So what we strive to be and what all of us are beginning to do is to move so that we get closer into the room. We're in the room when the concept is done. And then you get the right person in the room who won't compromise their culture and say what they think the people who are paying them want them to say, but really to stand up and have principles and say, well, no, I really don't think that that is something that needs to happen. It is far more difficult than you think in a room where there's nobody who looks like you to stand up and say, no, that's not right. Now, it's not difficult for me, but it's difficult for a lot of people because it's all about money. Bottom line is about money. Everybody they have their bills and their cars and their boats and their mansions to maintain. So they want that, and there's a compromise. But I think the more that we strive to get into the room to change the concept of what the movies are, that's where the strength is. So the strength is not in the actor. The actor is going to do what the script tells them to do, what is written there. The strength is the person who greenlights it. And you have to have people who think like us and look like us and some who don't look like us in there who have us and our priority and our culture and our accurate culture in mind.
Okay. How does the how can the art industry contribute in the understanding? You just touched on it a little bit. Can you go in depth? how can the art industry contribute in the understanding of the needs of the Black community?
Well, again, it's in having programs that really do understand and tell the truth about us, all of us, everything. Black community is one of wealth and beauty and tragedy and poverty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have great success stories that we never hear about. We have great heroes that we never hear about. That's a very important thing. It's a complete history that we need to be talking about, not a partial history that only feeds to those the negative that's in our community. We need to address that, but we also need to address the positive. And I think what happens is that when people think about Black community, they think it's synonymous with something negative, and that whole correlation needs to be corrected. That when we talk about our community, we talk about the successes and the failures that we've had, and that those programs are based upon it, and that there's a complete picture, a total picture about who we are, not just the drugs and the gangs and the missteps, but the successes and the historic connections, and it's more than once a year. And that you take all of those things that you compile and squeeze together in February and spread them out over 12 months and make them inclusive in the American history pages. So
yeah,
how we
could do more than dribble. We could do more than catch a football and dance.
Oh, absolutely.
We can
invent the images that we want people to see is more than entertainment, more than singing and dancing, even though I don't belittle that because, see, I worked as hard to do what I do as the pre-law and the pre-med students did at the college. I would go home as late as they did because it takes as much discipline and as tool and skill to do it. Sometimes that is demeaned by people who don't have the training. And you think, oh, well, I've never had a lesson. Well, you know, it takes a lesson to sustain oneself. So don't get me. That's a whole nother conversation about how people think that it's really not a discipline to be in my business. It's a great discipline to be in my business.
Any profession will take discipline. Yes.
Every profession does. And those professions need to be highlighted that we have been successful in every single one of them. I don't think that there's a profession that exists that we have not been successful in. But you don't see that, and there need to be programs that are green-lighted, that highlight that. So, yes, that's how the arts can do that, and that's what we should be telling people we want whenever we talk about what we want.
Oh, we got a lot of calls today. If you have a question or comment, just press 1, and I'll come right to you. Now, you mentioned earlier you touched on leadership such as the NAACP. How can the art industry improve our Black leadership?
Well, I think that's putting a lot of responsibility on the art industry. I think it can support Black leadership. I don't know if it can improve it. I think Black leadership is a cultural, political thing as much as a social thing. And I think socially people who are going to be leadership in our community need to be genuine in their purpose of wanting to further our community. So the arts can support that, but you want to be very particular about how they influence it, okay? So you can't give the responsibility for art to do everything for the community, but it can support it greatly, especially when the art community knows what our Black community wants.
Yeah, okay. So how can – since you're part of the public school system, now you're part of public, you do a lot of work with public schools, a lot of work with youth. How can the art impact struggling Black families and individuals?
Well, I can tell you how I did it. I decided that where I lived, that the students had the educational budget been cut so badly that the things that I took for granted when I was in school, I went to public and then private schools, things that I took for granted, these children never had. I had art every day. in my schedule. These children have art once a week if they're lucky. They don't have music. So I decided that I wanted to see how badly young people and their families wanted them to be exposed to an artistic kind of opportunity. And I created a chorus. And I thought, well, I'll get a little, you know, reaction from the chorus. It was overwhelming because people in our community were raised in an era where you were involved in school activities. And because of budget cuts in a lot of our communities, those things don't happen anymore. So individually, sometimes those of us who have been blessed very well, and I've been blessed by God everywhere, and I'm going to say that on air because that's an important thing to know, that you don't do it by yourself, that you give back, that you create artistically and through corporate sponsorship programs that can help parents put their children in programs where they can appreciate music, they can appreciate the spoken word, poetry, novels, monologues, all of those things. So I say get involved in finding out what the lacking is in your community if you are a person in the arts or who has been blessed with some semblance of affluency, and what you can do in your community to help those students who are suffering because the budget cuts have taken everything from them.
Yeah. I noticed you said corporate sponsorship and mm-hmm. not government mm-hmm. grants. Why you choose corporate? Why you rather go with corporate sponsorship over grants, federal grants?
I didn't choose it over. I think they supplement one another if they can. I think that in corporate America, in our regular times, not during pandemic times and, you know, downfall times, but if you follow the market, if you realize that we are an economic country and that the economics in our country is what determines who rules the country, really, those mm-hmm. those big corporate companies have in their bylaws or in their structure always a program that can be tapped into that they would like in order to sponsor some community-based program. Their PBS is always sponsored by all those corporations. Those are monies that come from corporations. So they're also, it's not unlikely that you can go to a corporation and create a program that's going to benefit the community and see if you can get their sponsorship. Because there are money sometimes, a lot of the time, provided for you through those corporations.
You have any more questions, Michonne?
Yes. How are art and culture linked?
How are art and culture linked?
Linked, yes.
Yes, and I thought we touched on that a little bit earlier. I said that art and culture kind of intertwine. They influence one another. Culture is the development of our roots, our legacy, our community uses and environment. And art, I think, recognizes that, highlights it, magnifies it, and makes it entertaining. So one recognizes the other need for one another. For culture to be exposed, then art recognizes certain things in our culture, the beautiful music that we have, whether it is urban-based African music, whether it is Caribbean music, whether it is Latino music, and takes it and puts it and focuses on it, highlights it, spotlights what can be taken from it that's entertaining, and exposes it to the rest of the world. So they feed one another.
Okay, well, I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
Since you mentioned the diversity in the arts, what is the end game for you? Is it you want everybody else in the world to accept black culture and art, or what is it?
The end game for me is inclusion. that art is art, period, you know, that art is art, that we are considered artists, whether we are Black, Asian, Latino. That's my end game. My end game is that we don't have to be separate, that we should be included in American history, that we don't need anything to give us the crumbs of a month, that we deserve to have and are a people who have created this nation on our backs. I need to be in it. I need to be recognized for all of the things that we did when we weren't even paid a penny. So that's my end game. My end game is recognition. My end game is saying that we are this country as well as anybody else. Not Black anything. Arts, period.
Yeah, Ms. Godfrey, you speak of inclusion. Now, we have a segment of the Black population that don't want inclusion. And the reason why they don't want inclusion is because they feel that other cultures don't look favorably towards Black population. What do you say to that? Matter of fact, they said we should have
now,
our own
now you're getting into politics
channel,
in a way.
Our own
I don't
black
mind,
theater,
you know.
Our own
what
black
do I say
programming.
To that? I'll say more into social and politics and away from arts. But for what I say to it, first of all, is that we are not a monolithic anything in this society. Nobody thinks alike. And so we're not going to have a group that everybody wants to do the same thing. Some people don't appreciate who we are, and some people think that we should go back to wherever they think that we came from. However, in my opinion, Black Americans were created once they brought us to this shore and mingled us with whomever was here. So I don't have to go back to anywhere. This is where I belong. However, a lot of people are not as comfortable with being in a mixed society as other people, and they have that right. Now, if you're asking me to solve how that can happen, I have no idea. You know, that's a political and a science, social kind of connotation that they have to deal with. But I do agree with them. There's some people who do not appreciate who we are. And if you're not comfortable being around them, then you need to go and be where you are comfortable. I'm not going anywhere. So.
Well, how can...
Hold up, Michelle.
Okay. How can the art industry help with the communication, since there's so many different views in the Black community? How can the art industry help with the communication among the different philosophies?
By respecting all of them. You know, I don't know why it is that we think that we have to have one school of thought, and that's how we have to exist. Everybody has to think exactly the same. We don't have to agree. We just have to respect the fact that we see things differently, and different things satisfy different people.
Well,
there
don't
is no
you
wrong.
Feel that?
You know,
don't
I mean,
you,
there is no wrong. You know, once
don't
we
you
do
feel,
that,
don't you feel? Don't you feel that these different school of thoughts? I was watching an old tape of Tony Brown Journal, and he had a panel of 8 different Black leaders from different avenues coming to discuss and have a dialogue about issues. It took place in like 1972, 73, something like that. And, I found it very interesting because we don't have that anymore, where different school of thoughts are able to have a discussion, a dialogue about some of our issues, basically solutions to our issues. But we know our issues. We need solutions.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have to get to a point where we respect one another. You know, there's a thing called we agree to disagree. You know, you and I may not see the same things, and we may look at a piece of fruit, and you may think it's an orange, and I may think it's an apple. But we have to agree the fact that we have the right to see whatever it is that we see, and that there's no wrong in somebody's vision. When you start making judgments that you have to believe what I believe and you have to be who I believe, then that's when you have divisiveness. So we must respect one another within our own community and respect that we have the right to disagree. But one thing for sure, we all have a common goal, and that is to be free and equal, to be treated as human beings. Now, if there's an argument there, then we have an issue. But I think everyone agrees with that. It's how we get to that end point is where the disagreement may come. But why not? Without disagreement, it would be a very boring world. We just have to learn how to disagree. We have to learn how to respect each other and not see the same things all the time.
Right. I agree with that. Go ahead, Michonne, with your question.
Okay, you brought up respect and how the black community doesn't have to, you know, be basically on the same page, but they should have respect for each other. Mm-hmm. Now, have you ever had that conversation with your white colleagues?
Yeah.
About they should be respecting you?
Well, I don't have, let me just say, you see, I want to dissect your question for a minute, because do you have problems with white people, Deshaun?
I grew up in a white area. I went to all white schools.
Mm-hmm.
I still live in an all white area. I live in an all white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. So do you have problems with having people respect you?
I don't have any problems being respected.
Neither do I.
Because
I have never had.
I came from a so-called
I am
good
with me
black
when I
family,
walk.
Though, which is a difference.
Excuse me?
Here's the difference for me. I came from a family that was considered a good family, as far as a black family goes, but there were other families who weren't. So
mm-hmm.
I was treated a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up, like the mayor, his daughter would have birthday parties. I would be invited. I would
mm-hmm.
be invited places, and I would be the only black person there
mm-hmm.
because my family was good enough for me to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I know other black people that I was around or knew, they wouldn't be invited to the same
mm-hmm.
places I had access to.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not where I'm coming from. I'm just asking.
Well, you know, I understand what you said to me, but I have not encountered that. I have not. I come from a very simple family. The accomplishments that I have now, my family's biggest desire was to make sure that at 3 years old, I understood what the concept of college meant. So I was talking that I was going to college when I was three, and I didn't even know what college was. Education was a very important thing to them because neither of them had education. So when it comes to what a family was, it was a great family, but it might not have been considered a good family in certain caste systems. Okay? But what they told me was, and I believe now, that when I walk in, I can walk in any door. So I've never had a problem with anybody disrespecting me when I walk through the door. No, I'm not. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Now, if there's a problem, it's on them, and I think that they've been smart enough never to confront me with it.
Okay. Let's get back to my questions, can we?
Mm-hmm.
It appears that part of the arts, and we touched on it a little bit early in the show, but I wanted more of a deep of explanation of why it appears that part of the arts had negative images of black men. And, you know, they're weak and they're not family oriented, you know, stereotypes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess those stereotypes of black men
in
the art industry.
I wish I could
songs
tell you
and media.
That, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, it's a very disturbing thing. When I look at films and I look at the characters that are being portrayed in a lot of these films, I am at the same cross. I'm the same demographic as you are. I'm an audience member.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just don't look at it. You know, I don't support it. I think that, though, again, I will go back to the point that we as a people need to know that the power is in the demographic that we have, We have the power. We buy products, hair, makeup, clothing. We drive industries. So we do have a power to tell people what we want to see. When we see those imageries, we really do have to talk about it and not complain to one another about it, because we don't have, we can't do anything about it to one another, but we can, as a group en masse, say, all right, we don't want to see that anymore.
And then
see where that takes us. But we haven't done that yet. We have not let them, we have not said, you know what, if you do another movie like this, I'm not going. But we go. And they make money, and so they go and make another movie.
Now, do that come from us being accepting of those images?
I think we are probably the most loyal audience that anybody will ever have. Black people,
as well as being American, as well as being American, we're the most beautiful
things that America has. We get interested in something and we support it. And we have to understand and empower ourselves with that knowledge that we can change things with that loyalty. We can make lemonade out of the lemons, if so. With that loyalty, because we en masse, when we look at a show, if they change even the storyline in the show, we still look at it. We don't complain about it. We complain to each other. We get on the phone and talk about it to each other, and we can say, oh, you know, I don't like it. You didn't see what that character went to? I don't like that character. But we never write it down and tell the people who are writing it. So in a way, since they don't know, they're going to keep on going, doing whatever they think that they think we want, because we haven't told them we don't want it.
Right. We have a call of Miss Garfrey. We have
yes.
a call.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, 8051. Welcome to Black Urban America. You're on the line.
Okay. I really like your show tonight. I have a comment on what you said about the images of black men. I think it's a power trip for those who think they are in power, because it still gives them power to masquerade us like they did during slavery.
I think that's a valid statement. I think I do agree with that. I think that images are created that make people comfortable. And that, therefore, it feeds into their superiority, yes. But I also have to say this, and the sad part about it is that they're not the only ones who create those. And they're in the room, sometimes I say we need to be in the room. In the room, sometimes there are people who look like us, and they still create that. So we have to make sure that we address the images that we don't like, whoever creates them.
Yeah,
but I absolutely agree with that statement.
I also think that I almost lost my train of thought. With those images, that some of us still need to be deprogrammed into something else other than they remember how things used to be. And they just go along with it. It's hard for when you have been broken down as a black man, it's hard for a lot of them to say, step out of that role that they were programmed for and do something different. As she said before, a lot of it is a money thing. I think some of us sell our souls just for a dollar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think admitting that is a very important thing, that we take some responsibility. And I think that what you said earlier, when you say that people, you get in a situation where you have established yourself someplace and you think that that's where you need to be, and change is very difficult. Very difficult to accept. We just have to support those people who have that issue, and we have to keep on moving forward and trying to strengthen the images that we have of ourselves when we write things, and again, question those people who write things for us. Again, I will bring up, you know, I'm in the middle of now a project where I'm working on a project where it's a black historic image, but the images in the story, I've got two plays. The images in the story written about a black man but not written by black people, I still question. Another image, historic, written by a black man, about a black man, and I question. So you must question, period. Empower yourself to question. Always question someone. Don't settle for what they've decided who you are. Bring the bar higher and let them know that you respect yourself and you expect them to respect you also.
Let me ask you something. This will be our last question for the evening. Why
already, Mr. Jones?
We only got 3 minutes and 55 seconds left.
Oh, my God.
I know it's probably going to take you 2 minutes to answer this question. Okay. Now, why do other folks, even including black folks, look at celebrities as our leadership?
I wish I knew the answer to that. Now, you'll have a minute left over. I wish I had the answer to that.
You
I think
have the answer
that
to this?
Celebrities
oh, come on.
Are
Take a shot. Take
promoted
a shot.
To be our leadership by a machinery, and they're created by that machinery to be exactly who that machinery wants them to be. Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why we choose to think that they're the only ones that we should regard with high esteem, I don't know. I want us to regard our teachers with high esteem, our doctors, you know, our lawyers.
Yeah.
Our
small business owners.
We escape from it.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about it more, and the more we talk about it and remind people that there are other people who do things that may not be as glamorous as the things that I do for a living, maybe, but it's far more impactful and far more reaching, and children, you know, are getting it. They want to be scientists now, and they want to be accountants now, and you know, and that's all right. And I think it's a fabulous thing. It's a fabulous
it's
thing.
It's beautiful. I got one more.
It's been,
something
it's been
that came up
wonderful.
In my mind. It's something
Shaw,
came up in my
you
mind.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank
no,
you.
I want to ask you one more thing before you leave. Why do music and media use so much of the N-word?
Oh, well, I don't allow, let me just say, I don't allow the N-word in my pieces, in my production.
You seem like that person.
No, you can't know. There's no justification for me. When you realize and if you do the research about what that is, and sometimes when those men and women were hanging from trees and that was the last word that they heard, then I don't understand why you would even think that that's something that should come out of your mouth.
I don't understand. Well, Ms. Godfrey, that's all the time we have. That's all the time we have left. I enjoyed
right.
our
it's
conversation. I enjoyed your conversation. And thank you for coming on the show. I'd like it sometime in the near future to invite you back.
Thank you. I'd love to come back. I love talking to both of you. Thank you. It's been just a wonderful pleasure for both of you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're
okay.
welcome.
That's it. We have another. That's it for another week. We had so many listening calls. You had one caller, and we had so many people listening. But that's okay. I hope you learned something from Ms. Godfrey, and really appreciate the discussion about the art industry and the activism that's going on in the art industry. And I really enjoy it. As always, I am because we are. We are because I am. Good night, everyone.
Hold it now.